I'm glad that I've been asked to speak this morning because I consider myself to be an expert on mothers. I do. I am surrounded by incredible mothers. Real close and then very close. My wife is an amazing mother. My mother is an amazing mother. My mother-in-law is an amazing mother. Wild. I picked really well. I did. Philippians 2, verse 3 is a verse that is just embodies what is so amazing about mothers. Philippians 2, 3. It's about Christ, and it's a directive to the church to treat each other the way Christ thinks about us, the mind of humility. It's that section. But there's two words in the verse that blow my mind. So let's read it. Lord, bless these words in this day. And the mothers here, thank you for mothers. There's an amazing expression of divine love and care and intent. In your name, amen. Last night I was looking at the stars, and I was thinking about this message today, and for some reason I just couldn't stop. I couldn't stop thinking about the light from the stars, how long it's been traveling. The last star on the Big Dipper, the very end of the handle, the name of the star is Alcade. And the light that left the star that's hitting my eye, it left it before World War I, 103 years ago. And I was thinking about, like, how long, like, the long game of a mother's love, like, how far off a mother loves her child, how long the love, you know, has been traveling. This verse here in Philippians, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. The word esteem and the word better is amazing that God spoke through Paul this way. The word esteem is like the choice of a superior. Like the man in authority deems something to be so. The man in authority, it can be used as command, but also like to say this is this way, to esteem. But it's done from authority. And then the word better is like that it would excel. Like, so if you read it, it's like the person from a place of authority deems the other to excel more than him. This is amazing. And this is what a mother's life is about, like we heard in that play. Thankless, you couldn't possibly thank your mother enough. For 9 months, right? For 103 years, the light's traveling. For 9 months, the mother's got a choice. In our society, we actually, it's amazing, not that I want to talk about abortion, but we can choose. You actually choose to keep your kid. It's an amazing expression of love. I live next to an abortion clinic at college, and many mothers didn't choose to keep their kids. But you can choose to keep, and that is such a beautiful, like, expression of love. I choose to keep this person. And we think that's amazing. The fact that that's even possible is crazy. But the choice, and then the carrying, and the thought for 9 months, thinking hopes and dreams and love, and picturing the child's life, and I just find it amazing that the one with the power, like, is thinking of, like, this person inside of them as better than them, as excelling them, as going further than them, you know? It's pretty wild. There's this verse in Proverbs, in 31, it's the chapter 31 is like King Lemuel is recounting his mom's advice. And verse 25 of the chapter says that a great woman is talking about the virtuous woman. The virtuous woman rejoices in the future. And I believe it's the Amplified. Rejoices in the future. Like the star's light is coming a long time before I existed. It's coming, and not necessarily with the purpose of twinkling in my eye, but regardless of my thought towards the star, it's coming, and the light will be there to hit my eye. And a mother's love, hope, intention is unilateral. It's without return. It doesn't need the return. It's one way. A care. It's like the most amazing expression of God's love, a mother's love. This like incredibly unilateral care. Verse 3 of Jeremiah 31 says that the God of old said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And the mother's love, the greatest thing about a mother's love is what it does in her child. That it's not just like, it's not just empty, it's not just thoughts swirling, hopes, without a connection to reality. It's like every bit of love expressed towards the child has the potential to create the person who he will become. It's fascinating to watch. A mother's hope and a mother's love turn into something in the child. Just in closing, I just want to read a letter from my mom to me, and then I'll close. An email to me and my brother. Just a portion of it. There's no swearing in it, in this one. No, I'm just playing. If you know my mom, she... Whew. It says, lately I've been reading my old journals as my devotional and restudying the verses that I had referenced in each one. What a faithful God we have and how he has brought each scriptural promise to pass concerning my boys. Most of my entries had to do with either raising you boys or my inability to focus on being successful at anything other than to raise my boys. No matter how many dreams I had for my life, nothing to show but my boys. The Father led me through the fires, the furnace, to see my boys come out on the other side, living to bring him glory. I am content with that. One entry blew me away. I got to share it with you because your life is an actual, tangible answer to Mom's prayer. Even an anxious prayer of worry and helplessness, God knew. And he can answer even those as his Spirit prays when we don't even know how. And I just want to close with that. If you knew where I could be, I don't want to express that, but if you knew where I could be and what God has led me into instead by his grace and through a mother's love, it's profound. So I just want to thank my mom and my wife and my mother-in-law for the long game of love.
That pastor. Good morning. Boy, that was such a good word, wasn't that? Really enjoyed that. That was amazing. We are here worshipers of Christ this morning. And I love it when we come to the church to worship and how respectful we are regarding our worship and our focus on his word and what God wants to say to us. And this morning we are speaking about mothers and the kingdom of God. And we have a portion from Luke 11. If you would turn there with me, Luke 11. And we have two verses. Verse 27, and then also verse 28. I have a lot of material here about mothers, and some of it is funny because we really enjoy what little children say about mothers, and I can read some of that to you. And then we have the deeper and most important aspect of our message this morning. Why did God make moms from second grade school children? Why did God make mothers? Answer, mostly to clean the house. She's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is. To help us out of there when we are getting born. How did God make mothers? How did he do it? He used dirt just like the rest of us. God made my mom just the same like he made me. He used bigger parts. What ingredients are mothers made of? They had to get their start from men's bones. Then they mostly used string, I think. What kind of little girl was your mom? My mom has always been my mom and none of that other stuff. I don't know because I wasn't there, but my guess would be pretty bossy. What did mom need to know about dad before she married him? His last name. She had to know his background. Like, is he a crook? Does he get drunk on beer? Why did your mom marry your dad? My dad makes the best spaghetti in the world, and my mom eats a lot. This is a good answer. She got too old to do anything else with him. Why did your mom marry your dad? My grandma says that my mom didn't have her thinking cap on. What's the difference between moms and dads? Moms work at work and work at home, and dads just go to work at work. Moms know how to talk to teachers without scaring them. Dads are taller and stronger, but moms have all the real power because that's who you got to ask if you want to sleep over at your friend's. What does your mom do in her spare time? Mothers don't spare time. What would it take to make your mom perfect? On the inside, she's really perfect. Outside, I think there's some kind of plastic surgery. Okay. Okay, I have one about grandmothers that's kind of funny. I'll read that to you. A grandmother, this is a third grader, a grandmother is a lady who has no children of her own. She likes other people's little girls and boys. A grandfather is a man grandmother. He goes for walks with boys, and they talk about fishing and stuff like that. Grandmothers don't have to do anything except be there. They're old, so they shouldn't play hard or run. It's enough if they drive us to the market where the pretend horse is and have a lot of dimes ready. Or they take us for walks. They should slow down past things like pretty leaves and caterpillars. They should never say, hurry up. Usually grandmothers are fat, but not too fat to tie your shoes. They wear glasses and funny underwear. I don't know what them. They could take their teeth and gums out. Grandmothers don't have to be smart. Only answer questions like, why isn't God married? And how come dogs chase cats? Grandmothers don't talk baby talk like visitors do because it is hard to understand. When they read to us, they don't skip or mind if it is the same story over again. Everybody should try to have a grandmother, especially if you don't have television, because they are the only grown-ups who have time. Good stuff. Funny. Okay, turn to Luke 11, please. And I'd like to speak about Christ's mother, Mary, and make some points about a mother and the kingdom. So, I love what Pastor David said about his mom, and we all know his mom so well, his wife, who is amazing, and his mother-in-law, also, who is so amazing, Debbie. And many of us today, we just love to think about our mom and honor them in our hearts. And here in this story, which is very short, but the Holy Spirit obviously had it in our interest to put this in the scripture. And if we take our time and look at it and take it apart a little bit, I think we will learn something. So verse 27. It came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. I would like you to think about Mary, and I'll just put a very short timeline here on the board, if I can get it. For some reason, it's not working. Thanks. I can say it to you. Mary was visited by an angel. And the angel told her that the Holy Spirit would come upon her, and that holy thing that would be born in her would be called the Son of God. And she said these great words, let it be unto me according to your word. But of course she did not know what this would mean or where it would go or how much pain, how much joy, how much faith, how much learning she would have in this experience. So she was like a young girl. Here's the timeline, and we'll just draw her like this. Okay? And she may have been 16, 15, 18. We don't know her age. But a young virgin. And she hears the angel and she believes. This believing is very important. Then the child is born. And there are details about that beginning, the very first weeks and months of her life. And then they go down to Egypt. Then Herod dies. They leave Egypt and go to Nazareth, where the young boy grows up, and he is a wise child. Luke 2:40-52. And the proverb says in chapter 10, verse 1, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. But this son was not a foolish son. This son was a wise one. And undoubtedly the joy of the father, but also of the mother. And I think in this story, when the woman in the crowd yelled out and said, basically, "Blessed is your mother," then we would like to ask the question, why did the woman say it? Maybe her son had been foolish and her heart was broken. And as she listened to Christ, she recognized that he was wise, that he had courage, that he was kind, that he was educated in the kingdom, that he had a purpose, that he was determined, that he was humble, that he was a man of God. And when a woman that is in the crowd, and anyone here today, a mother of any kind, I mean a mother, there's one kind, but what I mean, a believing mother or an unbelieving mother, when they see and they recognize a man of responsibility, then they appreciate it and they say, your mother must be very happy about you. Your mother must be really satisfied to have a son like you. Referring to Christ and the woman's comments. And maybe she is saying it because her heart is broken, or maybe her son or children, son, daughters, were godly people. Abraham Lincoln said an interesting statement about poverty. He said, "No man is poor that has had a godly mother." What a statement that is. If you have had a godly mother, then you have a richness, a investment in your life that has affected you deeply. And there are mothers here today, I am sure, that have had both, or have had, some have had wise children, and some have had disappointments, and maybe even heaviness of the mother, or a broken heart. But a mother's love is a love that is very much like agape love. And we have seen that in many ways. One poem reads this, "Mother of Mine" by Rudyard Kipling. "If I were hanged on the highest hill, mother of mine, oh mother of mine, I know whose love would follow me still, mother of mine, mother of mine. If I were drowned in the deepest sea, mother of mine, oh mother of mine, I know whose tears would come down to me, mother of mine, oh mother of mine. If I were damned by body and soul, mother of mine, oh mother of mine, I know whose prayers would make me whole, mother of mine, mother of mine." A mother with a broken heart, but she will not stop. She will not give up. I made that little list from 1 Corinthians 13 about agape love, and I'll just read through it quickly because it's not our message, but suffers long, charity, agape. But you could put in there the word mother, because I think mother's love, that mother of mine, you will never stop loving me. Because God made a mother's heart like that. Suffers long, is kind, envies not, vaunteth not itself, not puffed up, does not behave unseemly, seeks not her own, not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices in the truth, not in the pain, but in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and never fails. Let's go back to our story. The woman was compelled to shout out in the crowd, "Your mother must be," and I'll use our language, "Your mother must be so happy to have you as a son. I wish you were like my son. I am so blessed by hearing you, seeing you. Oh, your mother must be so blessed." So look up at our diagram, or our timeline. In the beginning, she is pondering, and years pass. She is told by Simeon that she will suffer pain because of her baby. After the baby is born, it goes to the temple to be circumcised. Simeon said, "A sword will pierce your heart also." But she does not know what that means. Is there some disappointment coming? Is there some pain coming? What will happen? He starts his public ministry at the age of 29. And now comes the trouble. A mother's heart with her son, who she knows is godly, righteous, wise, compelling, personal, penetrating, real, courageous. He is the Christ. Now comes the difficulty, these years, and then finally the cross, and that's her son. What does she need when she sees her son in trouble? What does she need when she sees her son facing death? What does she need when she sees her son's mission? What does she need? There's a direction that mothers can go in, and it's called sentimentality. Actually, it's the result of a poor doctrinal understanding. I'll put here poor doctrine or no doctrine. A mother without doctrine will misunderstand their child. They'll say, "He's a good boy, he's a good boy." And of course, in one sense, we understand what she means. But doctrinally, we don't understand it that way. We don't believe that. He is a boy that needs Christ. He is a boy that needs to be saved. He's a boy that needs investment. He's a boy that needs, actually, there's three things we can put here. Poor doctrine, and they'll put down three points here. Number one, he is a good boy. This is an error. Number two, he has answers for problems in himself. He can figure it out on his own. Number three, the goal is happiness. This mother that is thinking this way, this mother is what Jesus answers the woman from the crowd. We'll see it in a second. Christ talks to the woman who yells out, "Blessed is your mother to have a son like you." And Christ goes back at her because he knows the direction for all of us in poor doctrine is to miss the point. There is a point here that is bigger than me being a good son. Now, this isn't about me being a good son and my mother being blessed as a result. She is blessed, but it's not because of what you think. It is because of the opposite of these things here. Matt, you can see it. You can see it in life. I hope you're following me with it. Following it with me. Good boy. My son needs Christ. He has the answers in himself. No, not the real answers. Yes, I'm happy if he's got some. He must have some stability and conviction and character that is being worked in him, and he has to have some answers. But the answers that he really needs are not in his heart. They must come from God's heart. What my son needs is Christ's word. This is what Christ says to the woman in the crowd. And then also, my purpose of my son is not to be happy. The purpose of my son is to glorify God. The purpose of my son has been made by God's grace, grows up by God's grace, and the purpose of his life is not happiness and security in America or anywhere else in the world. The purpose of my son is to glorify God. The purpose of our lives is to glorify God. Isn't that amazing? Now read the rest. You see what Jesus said. Look at chapter 11, verse 28. But he said, "Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." It would be great if we could get that. This is just what I just said. What I just said in the last 5 minutes is what Christ means. I'm convinced of it. Women cries out, "Oh, to have a son like you. Man, what an amazing man you are. Your mother must be so proud of you. You're such an unusual, you are an awesome man. Look at what you're doing. Look at the miracles that you do. Look at your teaching. You must be an incredible, your mother must be so proud of you." And he could go back to this kind of a picture here and say, "Oh, really? Do you know about my mother? Do you know that the way it started was by my mother saying to the angel, 'Let it be according to your word,' and that my mother is a believer in doctrine, and she has given me up, and the suffering of my mother and the pain that my mother will have as a sword pierces her heart because I will be crucified on a cross, and my mother will be there. But her life is bigger than my performance in this life. Her mind is based on the kingdom. Yea, rather, blessed are they that are hearing my word, and they are keeping it and doing it, and I'm going to say, I'm putting this in there, like my mother has done, and I trust and hope and believe that my mother will continue to see this as bigger than just a nice son that has popularity and strength and ability. But my mother is my spiritual mother, my godly mother, my blessed mother, my kingdom mother. A mother that says my children can decide their faith when they grow up all on their own is being very silly. We don't do that when we teach our kids mathematics or history or anything else. But when it comes to religion, it is a very silly thing to have my children make those decisions. They don't decide where they live. They don't decide what they eat. Sometimes they do. They do not decide where they're going. Well, sometimes they do as they grow up. But they are not making that. We are leading them. Yea, blessed are they that hear the word. And so, in closing, listen, poor doctrine will look at people this way. My girl is a good girl, good boy. Yes, I understand that language. It's very important to encourage our children hey, reinforce him. I know, I understand that. But essentially, people have a deep problem, and a good parent will understand that about the children and lead and guide them in the faith. Number two, the answers, sir, my children's problems are not in themselves. They must get the answers from the doctrine. And they that hear it and they keep it, they will find God in their life. And what could be better for a parent to know than to know that my children have found God in their life? That is an amazing purpose or goal for us. And I know that we all think that way, desire it, and see it. And then the last thing, happiness. Okay, we'll close. Moses, his mother, Moses' mother, he was in Egypt as a baby, newly born, and his mother had two poisons, so to speak, to choose from. One, keep him and he will be killed, or send him down the river in an ark of bulrushes. And she loved her son, but was in a hard place and said, he has to live. The risk is higher if I keep him. I must give him up. I will give him up to the river. I will give him up by faith. I will trust God for my son. And in the story, he is found by Pharaoh's daughter, comes back to the mother. The mother actually feeds him, and he grows up in his mother's home. The courage of a mother. Then Ruth with Naomi follows Naomi, the mother-in-law, and Ruth follows by faith, by faith. Life is not always easy. We all want the white house, little picket fence, the little paradise in the countryside, but that's not reality. You might say, blessed is are those people that are living in such a peace with perfect kids in a perfect environment. And Christ will say, no. Blessed are they, rather, that find themselves in difficulty and good doctrine. Blessed are those that are leading their family in good doctrine. Blessed are those that are teaching Christ and leading people in hearing from God and following God and obeying God, because we all know that there is no place in this world where there is such happiness and peace and contentment. There is not at that way. It must be Christ. Christ is our peace. Christ is our purpose, our way. Christ is our love. Christ is the answer for every family problem. Christ will show up and give us what we need. No, rather, blessed are they. My mother is blessed as long as she is hearing and believing and following, and she's a blessed woman. Do not misinterpret. Therefore, those women that are not mothers, but they have kept the word, heard the word, keep the word, they are blessed. Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word and they keep it. They are kingdom, for this life passes, and what we have attained and gotten in this life, sometimes it is the heaviness of the mother. My child is foolish. I am heartbroken. But that does not stop me from loving, stop me from seeking, stop me from investing, stop me from caring. Because what can I do that is sure? But hear what he says and do it. Okay? Amen. Pray with me, please. Yes, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. In India this morning, we called India and heard about their Mother's Day. In India, Joyce Morley visiting others, thinking of Nikki Colby in Hungary and mothers in Africa and around the world and here and what it is. And then that which is even greater, that which is amazing. And to be a mother that knows the kingdom, as we heard Mary LaFlame, knowing the kingdom, wow. Thank you, Lord. If you're here this morning and do not have Jesus, today is the day for you to have Jesus, to believe in Jesus, to say to Jesus in your heart, yes, I believe in Jesus. Would you say this prayer? I believe in Christ. I'm going to jump into his arms. I'm going to trust in him. I'm going to collapse at his feet. I'm going to believe he will save me, and he will in a second. And all your sins taken away, all of them washed away, your name put in the book of life, God calling you by name, God calling you in prayer, God calling you in faith, God calling you in meditation, God calling you in conviction, God leading you in a new life. And if repent from your other stuff, all that sin, all the unbelief, all the fear, all your personality, your own ways, your own ideas, trust in Christ. There is no God like our God. Our God will take care of you. But you must come by faith. You must come as you are by faith. Turn from your own ways. Turn and believe him. And believe him and turn from your sin. And you shall be born of the Spirit. Born of God. God your Father. Baptized into the body of Christ. A child of God. Would you raise your hand if you're saying yes to Jesus today? Anyone? Say yes to Jesus, anyone at all, raise your hand. Yes, in Jesus' name, amen.